Yeah, well, this week is going to be a bit of a litmus test week because we've got the Fed meeting coming up in the US, and we've also got our Q4 inflation readings coming up here in Australia. So, you know, last week we saw in financial markets quite a reaction to the way in which things are changing, particularly by the Fed and the guidance that it's giving. It'll be interesting to see whether that's ratified or not with the events and data that occur this week. But just going back first to the data last week, and it wasn't really the data that was driving much last week in financial markets. What we had was that change between the end or the ending of the Delta variant in the US and the beginnings of Omicron coming through, just a setback in the monthly readings in the US. It wasn't across the board, so there was still some strength in some, but you could see it, for example, in the manufacturing surveys, particularly in New York. The New York Empire State Survey, which has regularly been in the 20s, 30s and higher over recent months, going back to December, it was at 31.9. It was expected to be 25. It came down to minus 0.7. Well, that's a pretty big setback. But it was fairly specific, I think, to the way in which New York has been ebbing and flying with changes relating to COVID. And, of course, rather like here, it's going through the peak of Omicron. It will be coming back, and you get the swing up the other side when as Omicron starts to fade. It wasn't quite that way down the coast a bit. Interestingly, the Philadelphia Fed survey, same month, for January, but a different outcome. There, it was at 15.4, going back to the month of December. Was expected to rise a bit to 20. It rose more than that to 23.2. So, a tale of two cities, big time, down the coast there. Philadelphia, things still booming as far as the manufacturing sector is concerned. But New York just showing that signs of weakness in the very near term. As far as we had mostly housing stats coming through as well, and again, a bit of a mixed bag running through those. In terms of housing activity, still holding up very, very well in the month of December, and so we had housing permits and housing starts. In fact, they turned out to be better than expected. Housing permits were expected to fall by 0.9%. They rose by 9.1%. And housing starts were expected to fall by 1.7%. They rose by 1.4%. Also, we had the January National Association of Home Builders Index. That came down to 83 from 84, but that's still a very, very elevated reading. Existing home sales, though, different story. And they were expected to fall by 0.5%. Fell by 4.6. So a bit of a mixed bag, but as I say, in terms of economic activity, if it wasn't for what the Fed's about to do, you would be expecting that, you get a bit of an Omicron setback, and then you get the rebound coming through as far as US economic activity is concerned. This week in the US, the Fed's the main game. It comes up on Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll find out what they're doing when we get through to Thursday. But it's worthwhile bearing in mind how the Fed has changed in terms of its guidance over the last few weeks. Go back before Christmas, and the Fed was still fairly much telling the market that, yes, inflation was high, but they still intended to go slowly, that they would be winding back in terms of bond purchases. They'd started that process. But in terms of rates, probably nothing in 2022, or there'll be a minor change probably later in the year, then moving slowly beyond that. Over the last week or two, the Fed governors, including Jerome Powell, have made it pretty clear that they're now frightened by inflation. They need to move a lot faster. They're promising to not only end the quantitative easing, in other words, the purchases of bonds, but rapidly, and turn that around to actually net selling bonds into the market fairly soon. On top of that, they're promising that there's going to be at least three rate hikes this year, that they have to move relatively aggressively. And so there's a hint in that they could be outsized rate hikes. We could see some large ones. So, that put the fear of God into markets last week. And you could see it in the way in which the frothiest of assets has fallen back. And so the big falls in asset markets last week were US tech stocks. You know, they had been the darlings when there was almost unimpeded growth facing them looking ahead. Now there's some impediment there. You can see who's wearing no clothes. And so, you know, cryptocurrencies in particular have turned into trash, literally, with the change in what the Fed is promising as well. And in terms of bond yields, we've started to see the marking up of those longer-term bond yields. They still have a long way to go up over time because, at the moment, there's still this expectation that inflation and the Fed tops out at around about 2.5% for the Fed funds and the inflation rate at some point over the next 2 years. That looks very, very unrealistic. So those expectations, I think, at the long end of the bond market have still got a fair bit of shifting to do. But this week, with the Fed, I can't imagine that they're going to announce anything more aggressive than they've been promising over the past week. And so they may change the cash rate, they may end QE, but in some ways, that's what's in the market. And so paradoxically, it's sort of sell the rumor, buy the fat temporarily, but it'll be a very, very short buying before you start to see the stepping up motion that, again, moves beyond that. As far as the data is concerned, there's not a lot that's really going to make much difference to the markets this week because, as I say, it's the Fed that's the key game. We've got Case-Shiller house prices coming out on Thursday. They're still very, very elevated, up 1%, 18% year on year. Something to bear in mind with the US housing market too, it won't turn over particularly quickly. The US housing market is a long rate market. It's a fixed rate market. 30-year fixed for most of their mortgages. So that's what happens to the bond yields and how that feeds through in that part of the market. Fed funds doesn't have the same impact in terms of the housing sector that a cash rate change has here in the local market because they haven't got that variable rate mortgage market that reacts instantly in terms of new repayments. So it's still going to take time for the US housing market to roll over. And also remembering that there's still a lot of embedded potential to spend in the US economy. So this is going to be some of the factors which feed through as far as the US is concerned. Later in the week, another number which will be interesting even though it's old is Q4 GDP. This is the post-Delta scare reading. So US growth was softer running through Q3. It was only 2.3% annualized. Even with a little bit of softness in the tail end of December, Q4 GDP looks as if it's going to have a big bounce. So you're going to bounce up to around about 5.4%. But beyond that, when we get into Q1, we'll have a pullback. Because of the Omicron, but it won't be all that long, so before you get some recovery beyond that. Some of the other bits and pieces coming through, one that doesn't often get a mention comes out on Friday, but it's the Q4 Employment Cost Index. Here's where the US is different from most. They've got a high inflation problem, but they've also got wages rising very, very fast and wage costs rising very, very fast. Going back to Q3, just quarter on quarter, Q4 employment costs are up 1.3%. They're expected to be up another 1.2% in Q4. That's 2.5% just over the half year. So you're annualising around about the 5% lift for employment costs. That's very, very high by US standards and, of course, is helping to underpin inflation and make the problem worse for the Fed in terms of trying to get on top of the inflation problem. As far as China was concerned last week, some interesting changes. This week it's going to be quiet because, obviously we go into Lunar New Year holidays, so or later in the week, but there's not much in the way of data as well. But last week we had a fair bit of data, and we had the fourth quarter GDP came out. There's a slowing down to 4% from 4.9% year on year. That was actually a bit better than the market was expecting. Fixed asset investment spending for the month of December also slowed to 4.9% from 5.2%. Industrial production lifting a little, 4.3% after being 3.8%. And retail sales very soft, down at 1.7% from 3.9%. One of the stories of 2021 has been that we've had very, very strong global economic growth without any assistance from China. The Chinese economy has been decelerating all the way through this year as policy dictates that certain sectors need to be tamed. It's a very policy-driven economy in that sense. But it got to a point where growth has got to be too slow. And it's also got to a point where China's running in absolute fear of what the Fed may do. So it's very noticeable that over the last week or two, we've heard a lot from President Xi, not about the usual things, but almost demanding and begging that the Fed and other central banks don't put up interest rates overseas. You know, why is this so important? Well, the one part of the Chinese economy which has been running quite well has been their trade sector. It's been helping to offset some of the softness which has been running through the domestic sector. And we've now got to a point where China's running a little bit scared, and they're easing up on policy quite big time to try and offset what they see as the weapon they fear most from the rest of the world. They're not worried about the rest of the world's armies, but they're worried sick by what the Fed may do, because in terms of the borrowings for some of the overseas borrowings of many of their companies over there, for what it might mean in terms of global trade, which could hurt the Chinese economy, that is a massive weapon of mass destruction for the Chinese. This is very, very interesting, the way in which this is starting to be nuanced. People's Bank of China, has been easing up recently, both in terms of the reserve ratio requirement. Last week, it had another interest rate reduction. So against the trend in the rest of the world, China's reducing interest rates. PBOC dropped their cash rate to 3.7% from 3.8%, and they're going to be doing some more of that. So very interesting change in the way in which China will be reacting as we go forward. Moving to Australia, and last week, we saw, and again, the dips and blips that you get between the various COVID waves, we were still getting a great deal of strength running through to employment in terms of change for the month of December. Now, the labour force survey is taken in the first 2 weeks of the month, so no chance really to pick up some of the weakness that might have started to come in as we get the Omicron wave starting to run through, which looks as if it's going to be concentrated in January going into early February, but was also there in part of late December. So the December labour force data was again strong as. The market was looking for a 30,000 increase in employment. We got a 64,800 increase after the 366,000 increase the month before. Participation rate is already up, almost back up at its high. It was at 66.1. It stayed at 66.1. As a result of that, the unemployment rate has come down to 4.2% from 4.6%. At 4.2%, that's the lowest since 2007. Also, over the last 40 years, there have only ever been three monthly readings which have been lower than 4.2%. So we're tight as a drum as far as the labour market is concerned at the moment. And even with the problems of demand being affected by Omicron, you're still getting stories from companies that can't find labour for the time being. So we've still got this very, very tight market for labour running through Australia, and something which probably the Reserve Bank has to change its view on a little bit as we go further forward. This week, if there's a test in the US coming from the Fed, there's a test for us coming with the CPI. One saving grace for the RBA is that they did lift their CPI forecast quite a bit at the last quarterly monetary policy statement going back to early November. So they tried to get ahead of some of this rise that's running through the CPI so they can pretend that, we actually predicted this and we can deal with it. We don't need to push up interest rates quite yet. But this is going to be a knife-edge one coming up this week, because the market expectation is that and it comes out on Tuesday, because obviously we've got Australia Day on Wednesday. Normally it's a Wednesday drop for the CPI. And the market expectation is that we'll get a rise of 1% quarter on quarter, compared with 0.8% going back to Q3. That will lift the annual change to 3.2% from 3.0%. But where this becomes more interesting is in the underlyings, because the underlyings, the trim, mean, weighted median, market assumption on those is that they will come in at 0.7% each. That will still see quite a big rise from 2.1% to 2.4% for the trim mean, 2.1% to 2.3%. Now, remembering that the most recent monetary policy statement, for the headline CPI, the Reserve Bank was forecasting that this would come in at 3.25%. So the 3.2 the market's forecasting, if it comes in round there, you know, the Reserve Bank's just about captured that. But as far as the trim mean and the weighted median are concerned, they've got 2.25 in there as well. And we're looking at 2.4, 2.3 on market expectations. Now, those 0.7s, there's a high risk with those, because the way we get to the trend mean and weighted median is we take out the top 15%, bottom 15%. We look for the mean in the middle, and or the mean, the average, or the median reading in the middle. There's a high risk that we could end up above the 0.7% on those. So, you know, underlying inflation travelling quite well ahead of what the Reserve Bank's predicting. And that sets it up where it's got to change its forecast yet again when it gets to the first week of February, after the Reserve Bank board meeting. But on that Friday, you know, we get the next quarterly monetary policy statement. Also, there's upside risk to the headline CPI reading too. There's quite a few price changes went through Q4. So a very, very significant reading. If it comes in around expectations or a little bit less, then it just helps to contain things a bit. But heaven help us if we get upside surprises on this one. That would lead to further upward pressure and expectations of when the RBA may need to raise the cash rate. The data beyond it, important, but less so. We get export prices, import prices, and producer prices. So all of those looking fairly elevated as well. In terms of Europe, we had the ZEW Economic Sentiment Survey in January. Europe's doing pretty well. It's had a huge lift in sentiment in the month of January. You know, they seem to be working their way through Omicron way better than most other regions. And so we lifted from 26.8, was expected to go to 29.2. It lifted to 49.4. It's one of the strongest readings ever. So the European economy is going very, very strongly at the moment. You know, you probably see it in outperformance of European assets too, with whatever faces us with what's happening around the world in the near term. And this week in Europe, we get some further information in terms of manufacturing PMIs, service sector PMIs. Again, holding up pretty well. The January Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index was at 58.0, expected to get up to that, or stay near that, 57.5, and the services sector PMI at 53.1, around 52.2. But broadly speaking, this week, yeah, we had the wobbles in the financial markets last week. Whether that becomes the sell the rumour, buy the fact, on the Fed on Wednesday, we'll have to wait and see. But you know, if the Fed shows that it's going to be very aggressive in terms of monetary policy change, then obviously we could have a fair bit more in terms of pullback of risk assets as we run through that. But rough rule of thumb is that anything which is frothy, didn't have particularly strong earnings, was reliant on blue sky and strong growth extending into the foreseeable future, is now in desperate trouble. And those assets are set to reprice quite a bit.